I remember that morning distinctly because it was Halloween. The streets were decked out in spooky decorations, and that familiar autumn chill lingered in the air. My alarm buzzed at 6:30 a.m., feeling like a zombie since I stood up all night playing the newest Call of Duty. I was also brainstorming last-minute costume ideas for a Halloween party. Pulling myself from the warmth of my bed, I began the usual morning drill: a quick shower, dressing up, and grabbing some breakfast. My mom, getting into the Halloween spirit, whipped up some pumpkin-shaped pancakes, along the usual toast and scrambled eggs. As I was eating, my phone buzzed with a text from James and Madison, my two best friends. James and Madison lived just down the block, so they would swing by my place and wait for me so that we can all walk to school together. It was how we would catch up, talk about whatever Netflix show we were binge-watching, or just complain about homework. But that morning was different. James was sharing how excited he was about his new Michael Myers mask that he was planning on wearing to the party. Madison, being the artsy one, was talking about the creative costume ideas she had in mind, and even showed off a hand-drawn face paint design that she'd been working on. As for my costume, I was going as Vegeta from the Dragon Ball Z anime. The Halloween party was all anyone could talk about, and as we walked, we continued talking about our costumes and our excitement for later that night. If I had to describe our friendship, I would say that James was the clown of the group, always ready with jokes and pranks. Madison was the artsy one, and I loved all things anime. I always had a manga hiding in my book bag. This addiction would sometimes get me into trouble because I'd often sneak in some reading during class. As we neared the school, the hallways turned into one big zoo of students. Tons of other students rushing to class, others just hanging around their lockers chatting with their friends. The bell was about to ring, signaling the start of another dreadful day of school. James made a joke about being so excited to get to class, and Madison playfully pushed him, almost toppling him over, making us all laugh. It felt like any other normal day. After our second period, James and I met up at our lockers, groaning about the mountain of homework we had gotten that day. We both shared this dislike for math class, which always seemed to dump a ton of work on us. Madison joined in, though she was more upbeat, excited about her new art project. As the bell rang, signaling us to move to our next class, I realized I had left a notebook in my previous class. I told him I'd catch up and darted off. Making my way back, I decided to swing by the bathroom first. Inside, a few guys were chatting, one of which was bragging about how many phone numbers he was going to grab at the Halloween party. While I was about to use the urinal, I spotted a duffel bag under one of the stall doors. I found it weird that someone would bring a duffel bag into a stall, but I didn't give it much thought at the time. In hindsight, though, that was a major red flag. So, I just took a quick piss stop and headed to the sink to wash my hands. While doing so, the group of guys made their way out, so it was just me and the person inside the stall that was left. I was finishing up in the bathroom, drying my hands, when I heard the noise of a stall door slowly creaking open. I didn't think much of it until my eyes caught something unusual. A big man stepped out, wearing a navy blue mechanic's uniform. That wasn't the scary part. It was the Jason Voorhees hockey mask on his face that made my heart stop. The huge machete he dragged along the floor didn't help either. It made this creepy sound that still rings in my ears when I think about it. Why was there a masked man in our school bathroom with a big knife? My legs acted before my brain could even think. I bolted out of the bathroom. Fear gave me a speed I never knew I had. I screamed at the top of my lungs, hoping to alert anyone and everyone around. I shouted for everyone to run and hide. The hallway, filled with students a moment ago, suddenly became chaotic. Everyone was rushing around, scared and confused. Just then, Mrs. Patterson, one of my favorite teachers, caught my arm. She looked concerned. She asked what was going on, trying to understand the panic. I tried to explain about the masked man, but words were hard to find. As if on cue, the bathroom door opened, and out came the large man with the mask, dragging his machete. Mrs. Patterson's eyes widened in terror. Without a word, she pulled me into her classroom. The room was full of students, some of whom I recognized. Everyone looked confused and scared. Mrs. Patterson quickly locked the door. We could hear other teachers doing the same in the hall. Moments later, the principal's voice echoed over the intercom, announcing a lockdown. Lockdown drills were nothing new. We practiced them sometimes, but this was real. The classroom transformed quickly. Desks, chairs, and even some bookshelves were moved to block the door. Everyone was helping, trying to make a barrier. In the hustle of barricading the door, everyone froze when someone pointed towards the window slit. There he was, the masked man, just standing and staring directly into the room. The atmosphere was thick with fear, and you could feel it. Every student in the room locked eyes on that chilling mask. It felt like the world stood still, even if it was just for a moment. There was an unmistakable sense of panic, a collective gasp, followed by pure silence. Then there came the chilling sound of the machete being dragged away on the tile floor as the intruder walked away from our door, echoing down the hallway. Moments later, loud, erratic bangs resonated, making everyone jump. It sounded like he was just pounding on the locker doors. We waited in that room for what felt like hours. The only sound was our own breathing and the occasional shuffle of a foot. We were all scared, trying to figure out if that guy was still out there. Then, after forever, we heard different sounds. Footsteps that were heavier and more organized than the chaos before. There was a knock on our door. Mrs. Patterson looked super nervous, but she moved towards it. When she heard the voices, she seemed to relax a bit. She opened the door, and two police officers walked in. They told us the guy had been caught and it was safe now. Everyone let out a huge sigh, and it was like the whole room finally started to breathe again. When school was dismissed early due to what happened, I caught up with James and Madison outside. Their faces mirrored my own, a mix of disbelief and relief. James mentioned how he was trapped in the gym when the alarm rang, while Madison shared her own story of hiding in the art room. We all agreed on one thing. We needed to distract ourselves from the day's horrors. The Halloween party we were looking forward to suddenly became even more crucial. We decided it would be our refuge, a way to reclaim some sort of normalcy after what was, without a doubt, the scariest day of our lives. Have you ever had that gut feeling that something was about to go terribly wrong? I got that feeling on Halloween in 2019. The air was cold, but there was something else, something unsettling. It was as if the world was trying to give me a sign. I ignored it, but deep down, I should have known better. The morning started like any other. I remember waking up to my cat, Patches, purring beside me. The sunlight was creeping through my window. I had set out my favorite orange Halloween sweater and black skirt the night before, all ready for the day. After a quick breakfast of toast and jam, I was out the door. My commute was short, but scenic. Every day, I drove past Mr. Clark's pumpkin patch, which was bursting with visitors looking for the perfect pumpkin. Kids laughed, parents took photos, and it was a picture of a perfect Halloween day. A few houses down, Miss Park's house was decked out with spooky decorations, cobwebs, giant spiders, and a life-size witch that gave me a chuckle every time I passed by. But it was my students who stole the show that day. They had come to school wearing the most adorable costumes I'd ever seen. Pirates, princesses, superheroes, and even a tiny astronaut roamed the halls. It was heartwarming to see their excitement. As a teacher, these were the moments I lived for. Now, a little about me. I've been teaching at this elementary school for about 5 years. Ever since I was a kid, I knew I wanted to work with children. My own teachers had made such a positive impact on my life, and I hope to do the same for others. My classroom was my little haven, filled with colorful drawings, books, and the infectious energy of young minds eager to learn. Every day, I took my students out for recess. Fresh air, laughter, and a little chaos to break up the day. The playground was fenced, and the gate was always locked. We thought it was safe. But that day, as I watched the children play, that nagging feeling took over. In the distance, a white van moved slowly down the street. Two men sat inside, and the driver seemed particularly interested in the playground. I found this strange, but didn't think much of it. Cars passed by all the time, but something in my gut told me to keep an eye on it. Minutes passed, but the feeling wouldn't go away. That same van ended up circling back around, this time parking close to the playground. My heart started beating faster, and my mind started picturing every worst-case scenario possible. When I saw the passenger window roll down and a familiar student walking towards it, my fear became real. All I could think was, this can't be happening. My heart pounded in my ears as I watched the young girl inch closer to the van. It was as if she was in a trance, pulled in by the man's gesture. He then pulled out a small teddy bear that he began dangling from the window. It was surreal. I couldn't believe that this was happening in broad daylight. I tried shouting out to her, but it felt like my voice was caught in a thick fog, muffled and distant. Looking around, I realized the other kids were still playing, oblivious to the dangerous scene unfolding before them. Only the other teacher seemed to notice, her face turning white as she too saw the girl. "Isn't that Katie?" she murmured, almost to herself. The recognition in her eyes confirmed my worst fears. Yes, that was Katie, a sweet, bubbly second grader from her class. But I couldn't figure out how Katie had gotten to the edge of the playground. We always locked the gate, a rule we never broke. Yet there it was, wide open. Someone must have forgotten to lock it either that morning or the day before. My stomach dropped at the thought. A simple oversight had put Katie's life at risk. We both sprinted towards the gate, our shoes pounding against the concrete. Time felt like it had come to a crawl, and my body felt like it was moving in slow motion. I kept my eyes fixed on Katie, begging her to snap out of her daze and return to the playground. but she continued her path, inching closer and closer to the van. That's when Zach, our school security guard, seemed to burst from the school's main entrance. His usually calm demeanor was now a storm of urgency. He sprinted faster than I'd ever seen anyone run, aiming straight for Katie. I silently cheered him on, praying he'd reach her in time. Just as Katie stepped out past the playground's fence, the van's side door slid wide open, revealing a scruffy man ready to jump out and grab Katie. But that's when Zach grabbed her, pulling her back towards safety. The sudden action seemed to wake her from her daze, and she looked around, confused and scared. Tears filled her eyes, but before we could comfort her, the van's tires screeched and it sped away, leaving a cloud of dust in its wake. All hell broke loose at that moment. Children screamed, teachers shouted, and the playground was plunged into chaos. We quickly herded the kids inside, with Zach leading the charge. The school's alarm blared loudly, signaling a lockdown. Everyone knew the drill. Classroom lights were switched off, doors locked, and children huddled quietly in corners away from windows. In my classroom, I held Katie close, trying to calm her shaking body. She was in my classroom, since that's where Zach had placed her during the chaos of bringing everyone inside. She kept mumbling about the teddy bear and how she just wanted to play. It broke my heart. It took hours for the lockdown to lift, and when it did, police cars lined the front of the school. Parents arrived, their faces lined with fear and relief, hugging their children tightly. The events of that day haunted our school for weeks. Thankfully, Katie was safe. After that incident, gate checks became a daily routine. But every Halloween since, I can't help but look over my shoulder, praying I never see that white van again. Halloween of last year still keeps me up at night sometimes. I thought working at the school for the past 2 decades meant I'd seen everything. Kids pulling pranks, fights breaking out, even a squirrel in the gym once. But that day was something else entirely. Around here, folks know me as Larry, the janitor. I've been keeping the halls of this high school clean and shiny for over 20 years now. I've got 2 daughters, both of whom graduated from here. My wife, she passed a few years back. Ever since then, I've thrown myself into work. It's been a routine, and it's kept me busy. It was a gloomy day, typical for a late October afternoon. The gray clouds cast an eerie light over the school. I was in the hallway near one of the building's back doors. My mop bucket was making that sloshing sound it always does. Every now and then, I'd take some trash out to the dumpsters. That day, I left the door open just for a minute or two, thinking it saved me some time. It's a pretty secluded door, tucked away in the back, surrounded by trees. Not a lot of folks come around that area, and honestly, there really was no reason to. It's always quiet, except for the distant chatter of students and the occasional bird chirp. That peace didn't last long, though. A chilling scream echoed down the hall. I rushed to see, and there she was, a woman. Her clothes were ripped up, and she was covered in blood and bruises. Her eyes were practically bulging out of their sockets. But then, her eyes locked onto mine. She was a complete mess and out of breath, saying she had escaped from someone. Without wasting time, I quickly shut that back door and locked it. Then I grabbed my walkie-talkie and radioed the main office. They needed to know what was happening. The school, being near the woods, always made it prone to some wildlife wandering in. But this was unexpected and alarming. I tried my best to keep my voice steady, but deep down, a cold fear was settling in. The lockdown alarm blared through the school. I could hear the muffled voices of teachers instructing their students. The woman was led to the main office by some of the staff. We wanted her to be safe. While we waited for the police, I kept thinking about that open door and how a simple act changed the course of that day. The whole atmosphere in the school changed. It was like everyone felt this heavy weight. The teachers had their doors shut, and the only sounds were the soft whispers of worried staff and the constant blaring of the lockdown alarm. The halls, usually bustling with students, were now empty. Everyone was extremely nervous, waiting to see what would happen next. In the main office, the woman sat on a chair. Her breathing was rapid and uneven. I offered her some water, which she took with shaky hands. She took a few sips, and then, after catching her breath, began to tell us what happened. It was clear she needed to get it off her chest. It was almost like telling us was her way of processing the trauma. She had gone hiking in the woods by herself, trying to get away from the noise and rush of her life. But she got lost, and that's when things took a turn for the worse. She stumbled onto an old cabin, thinking maybe someone inside could help her find her way back. But she was wrong. Inside were men, and from the way she described them, they weren't friendly. She told us how they grabbed her, beat her, and left her alone, tied up in a dark room of the cabin. She could hear them talking, saying how they'd be back for her and how she shouldn't even think of running. But she did. Using a broken piece of glass she found, she managed to cut the ropes and run. The woods, she said, felt endless. She ran and ran until she found the school. Two security guards were now patrolling the school. Their faces were as tense as the rest of us, and they moved cautiously, checking each corner and room. Another guard, Bob, sat near the monitors, keeping an eye on the camera feeds. Every once in a while, he'd adjust his glasses and lean in closer, trying to spot anything unusual. The rest of us kept glancing his way, hoping for an update. A few minutes passed, and the woman's breathing started to even out. Some color returned to her face, but she still looked petrified. We heard the police were on their way. I was confident they would comb the woods, find those men, and make sure they paid for what they did. We just had to keep her safe until then. You could feel the tension in the school. From the main office, I could see the school's large windows showing the outside world. The early signs of sunset were beginning to show. Halloween, a day of fun, costumes, and candy, had turned into a nightmare. Here we were, huddled inside, hoping those guys wouldn't storm the school. I have to admit, I was a little jumpy. I kept replaying the events leading up to that moment over and over in my head, still trying to come to grips with what was happening. Then, the familiar sound of police sirens filled the air. We were all beyond relieved. Officers rushed into the school, their stern faces scanning the premises. They took statements, and after checking on the woman, dispatched a team into the surrounding woods. After some time had passed, I tried asking about their findings, but it seemed like they were keeping details close to the vest. I hoped they found that cabin she talked about. As I peered out one of the windows, I noticed that a commotion grew outside. parents worried about their kids, news crews hunting for a story, all held back by police blockades. The school was swarming with activity, both inside and out. It felt like we were in a movie, and I don't mean that in a good way whatsoever. The wait seemed endless. Although the police were quick to arrive, their search in the woods took longer. With every passing minute, I could sense the growing anxiety in the school. Teachers, staff, and students were all waiting for the all clear. Eventually, the lockdown was lifted. It wasn't a full return to normalcy, but at least it was a step in that direction. The police began escorting everyone out, ensuring our safety. As I stepped outside, the setting sun painted the sky with shades of orange and purple. It was a sight that would usually bring peace, but now it was overshadowed by the horrible events of the day. It was supposed to be a day of fun and celebration, but it turned into one that many would want to forget. Soon, it'll have been exactly 1 year later since that chilling Halloween. Time has a way of moving forward, but memories from that day remain as vivid as ever. I've been teaching biology at a high school for a little over 10 years. It's a pretty standard school, tucked in a suburban area, known for its friendly staff and a decent football team. I've always felt at home here, surrounded by eager minds and the familiar buzz of school life. But there's this one day that's engraved in my memory, a day that I'll never forget. It was a Thursday morning. I remember clearly because Thursdays were lab days, and the students were always more animated. The class was scheduled to start at 10 a.m. I was setting up microscopes on the lab tables, and the students were chatting about their upcoming weekend plans. The weather outside was overcast, typical for a fall morning. As I began the class discussing cell structures, the loudspeaker suddenly blared the lockdown alarm. It wasn't a scheduled drill. I could tell by the unexpectedness and the instant silence that fell over the class. I saw a mix of confusion and fear in my students' eyes as they looked at me, expecting guidance. I've done lockdown drills before, but this felt alarmingly real. I instructed the students in a calm but firm voice to follow the lockdown protocol. "Everyone, please get to the corner of the room and stay as quiet as possible," I said, trying to mask my growing anxiety. The students, trained for such scenarios, quickly moved to the corner, some showing obvious signs of distress and anxiety. I locked the classroom door and turned off the lights, the room now dimly lit by the gray light from the windows. We sat in place with no one speaking or moving. I tried to read the expressions of my students in the dim light. Some were trying to stay brave. Others couldn't hide their fear. As a teacher, I felt a deep responsibility for their safety, a weight that seemed heavier with each passing second. Suddenly, we heard pounding on the door. "Help me, please, let me in. He's going to shoot me," a voice cried from the other side. The voice sounded young, desperate, but something about it didn't sit right with me. My mind raced. Was this a student in danger or a trick? I remembered our training. Under no circumstances were we to open the door. The banging continued, each thud sending a shockwave of fear through the room. I looked at my students. Their eyes were filled with terror, and I felt a sudden surge of protectiveness. I whispered to them to stay calm and that we're doing the right thing. My heart pounded in my chest, echoing the knocks on the door as I struggled to maintain my composure. Finally, the banging stopped. The silence that followed was almost terrifying. We remained in our corner, nobody daring to speak. I kept my eyes on the door, every muscle tense, ready for whatever might come next. The responsibility I felt for my students was overwhelming. I had to keep them safe no matter what. As we waited in the tense silence, my mind couldn't help but wander back to the early days of teaching. I had chosen this profession for the love of science and the joy of imparting knowledge. Never had I imagined that my role would extend to being a guardian in such a terrifying situation. The gravity of the situation hit me then. Being a teacher was about so much more than just teaching. I can't remember exactly how much time passed, but the intercom finally crackled to life. It was our principal's voice, announcing the end of the lockdown. The words "all clear" have never sounded so sweet. I watched as my students let out collective sighs of relief. We slowly stood up. Some students were hugging. Others were just silently gathering their thoughts. I unlocked the door, feeling a mix of relief and apprehension about what we might find outside. As we stepped into the hallway, it was eerily quiet. The usual lively school atmosphere was replaced by a tense stillness. Police officers were stationed at intervals, their presence both reassuring and unsettling. I led my students to the designated evacuation point as instructed over the intercom. The corridor felt longer than usual, each step heavy with the weight of the experience we had just endured. Once we reached the evacuation point, which was the school's gym, the magnitude of the situation really hit me. The gym was filled with students and teachers, all trying to process what had happened. I noticed some of my colleagues. Their faces mirrored my feelings, relief mixed with a deep sense of concern. We were all trying to comfort our students while grappling with our own emotions. The school administration, along with the police, debriefed us. That's when we learned the truth. The person who had been banging on our door was the gunman. He wasn't a student, but a man in his early 20s. The realization sent a shock throughout my body. I looked around at my students, grateful that my decision to not open the door had potentially saved lives. But it was a heavy thought to bear. Later, we learned more about the gunman. He had no connection to the school and seemed to have chosen it at random. The police had captured him as he attempted to flee from the back of the school building. It was a relief to know he was in custody, but it raised so many questions. Why did he choose our school? What could lead someone to do something so horrifying? The incident changed me, both as a teacher and as a person. I always knew that teaching was more than just imparting knowledge. It was about nurturing young minds. But now, I realized it was also about protecting them in ways I had never imagined. It made me think about the immense responsibility teachers carry, not just academically, but in every aspect of our students' well-being. I'm a junior in high school, and there's literally nothing special about me. I'm more into books than sports, and I guess you could say I'm kind of a loner. My days are mostly spent in the library or in the back of the classroom, trying to stay invisible. It's not that I don't like people, I just find it hard to fit in. I've always been the quiet kid, the one who's there but not really there. It was a typical start to the day, with the same old routine. I remember checking my watch. It was a few minutes past 10 a.m. when I stepped into the bathroom during our class break. The halls were mostly empty, as everyone was either in class or hanging out in the cafeteria. The bathroom was my go-to spot when I needed some time alone. It was usually quiet, a place where I could just breathe for a second without anyone bothering me. As I was washing my hands, I heard the door creak open. I didn't pay much attention at first. It was a public bathroom, after all. But then, I felt the air change. It's weird to describe, but it felt like the temperature dropped a few degrees. I glanced in the mirror and saw a man walking in. He wasn't a teacher or a student. I'd never seen him before. He stopped a few feet away from me and just stared. His eyes were cold, like he was looking right through me. I quickly dried my hands and felt this bad feeling come over me. He was dressed weirdly too, in a long, tattered coat and black combat boots. His hair was a mess, and there was something odd about his expression, like he was lost in some dark thought. Then he spoke, his voice low and rough. "Have you heard?" he asked. I was taken aback. "Heard what?" I managed to reply, trying my best not to sound intimidated. There was something unnerving about him, the way he stood too close and his eyes were dead set on mine. He smiled then, but it wasn't a friendly smile. It was a kind of smile that made you want to run. He patted my shoulder, his hand heavy and cold. "So many choices, so little time," he said, almost to himself. Then he walked past me, his footsteps echoing in the otherwise silent bathroom. He went straight to the last stall, shut the door behind him, and that was it. I was left standing there, a mix of confusion and fear swirling in my gut. I didn't know what to make of it, but every instinct told me to get out of there. I hurried back to class, trying to shake off the encounter. The halls were still quiet, and I remember glancing at the clock in the hallway. It was now 10:30 a.m. I slid into my seat just as the teacher was starting the lesson, but I couldn't focus. My mind kept replaying the strange man's words and that chilling smile. It felt like a bad dream, the kind that lingers even after you wake up. Not even 10 minutes had passed in class when the loudspeaker crackled to life. The voice of our principal, Mr. Rivera, sounded different, strained almost. He announced a lockdown, instructing everyone to stay in their classrooms. Instantly, the room went silent, and then a wave of whispers rolled through my classmates. Lockdowns weren't common here. I glanced at the clock, 10:42 a.m. I was trying my best to not panic and keep it together, with thoughts of the strange man in the bathroom flooding back. Our teacher, Mrs. Rose, quickly locked the door and ushered us into the corner of the room, away from any windows. We all sat on the floor. Some kids were trying to make light of the situation, but most were visibly scared. I kept thinking about that man, his words echoing in my head. I felt a cold chill as I wondered if he had something to do with this lockdown. The minutes dragged on like hours. We could hear muffled sounds from the hallway, footsteps, distant shouts. It was impossible to tell what was happening outside our classroom. I remember looking at Jackie, the girl I've had a crush on since freshman year. She was huddled with her friends, her face pale. I wanted to say something, anything to comfort her, but the words just wouldn't come. Then, the noises in the hall grew louder, more frantic. There were screams, not ordinary screams, but loud, manic, psychotic screams. It sent a wave of panic through our classroom. Mrs. Rose tried to keep us calm, but I could tell she was scared too. She kept glancing at the door, her hands trembling slightly. I felt helpless, sitting there, not knowing what was going on. Suddenly, there was a loud bang, like someone was slamming against the lockers. The sound was so close, it felt like it was right outside our door. A few girls screamed, and Mrs. Rose quickly hushed them. My heart was pounding so hard, I could barely hear anything else. I thought about my family, wondering if I'd ever see them again. Then out of nowhere, the noises stopped. The silence that followed was almost worse. The tension in the room was seriously intense. I remember looking at the clock again, It was now 11:07 a.m. We stayed huddled in that corner, no one daring to speak, each of us lost in our own fears and thoughts. Finally, after what seemed like hours, the loudspeaker came on again. Mr. Rivera's voice, this time more composed, announced that the police had the situation under control and that the lockdown was lifted. We learned later that the man from the bathroom had been causing the chaos. He was caught by the police in the gym. They never told us what his intentions were, but rumors spread like wildfire. I'm just glad nobody was hurt and that the police locked that cycle away. Back in middle school, things were pretty chill for the most part. Our school was in a quiet town, nothing big ever happened. We had the usual stuff, tests, homework, and some drama, but that was it. Until that one day in 8th grade. It was a Tuesday. I remember because we had a big history test that morning. I was sitting in Mr. Lopez's class, second seat from the left in the third row, trying to remember the dates for the Civil War. It was around 10:15 a.m. when the lockdown alarm went off. We all thought it was a drill at first. Mr. Lopez locked the door, turned off the lights, and told us to hide under our desks. We were whispering. Some kids were even giggling. That changed when Mrs. Summers, the principal, came on the intercom. Her voice was shaking. She said it wasn't a drill and that we needed to stay quiet and hidden. You could hear a pin drop in the room after that. We stayed under our desks for what felt like hours. I kept checking my watch, counting the minutes. It was almost 10:35 when we heard sirens outside. The sound made my heart race. We still didn't know what was going on, but we knew it had to be serious. During the lockdown, we didn't know much. Rumors were the only thing we had. Some students were texting their friends in other classes, trying to piece together what was happening. We heard bits and pieces, something about two men in the school, a possible abduction attempt, but it was all unconfirmed, just whispers and guesses. The fear was real though, even if we didn't have all the facts. Everyone was trying to stay quiet, but you could sense the anxiety in the air, the shuffling, the nervous breaths. Mr. Lopez kept his phone on, checking for any updates from the school staff. He didn't tell us much, just that we needed to stay put and stay quiet. He had this serious look on his face, the kind he gets when something's really wrong. It made us realize this wasn't just some drill or a small incident. At some point, we heard sirens outside, lots of them. That's when it hit us that this was serious. But inside our classroom, it was like we were cut off from the world, just waiting, not knowing. The only thing Mr. Lopez would say was that help was on the way and we needed to stay down and stay quiet. Eventually, after what felt like forever, the lockdown was lifted. It was almost 12 p.m. Mr. Lopez got a message on his phone, and he let out a deep breath before telling us it was over. We could finally stand up, stretch our legs, but even then, we were quiet. The whole thing hadn't really sunk in yet. We were escorted out of the classroom by police officers. They were all over the school, decked out in full tactical gear and weaponry. Walking through the halls, we saw some doors still closed, teachers peeking out cautiously. It was eerie and felt so surreal. The police guided us to the gym where they were having students gathered. In the gym, the principal and some teachers were waiting. They didn't give us many details, just that the situation was under control and that we were safe. Parents were already outside, waiting to pick us up. I remember seeing my mom's face in the crowd, her eyes full of worry. When she hugged me, I realized just how scared I'd been. My friends told me that on the bus ride home, everyone was talking at once, trying to figure out what had happened. Some kids had heard from friends that the police found the men hiding in the school basement. That detail stuck with me. The thought of them hiding somewhere we'd been so many times. It was creepy and unsettling. In the days following, the full story came out. We learned that the police had arrested two men. They were hiding in the basement like some kids had heard. Apparently, they had snuck into the school through a rear entrance. Their plan was to basically abduct the first female student they'd see walking by that area. That's when they spotted a 7th grade girl in the hallway, adjacent to that rear entrance. She was on her way to the bathroom. The girl was okay, but obviously shaken up. She had bitten one of the men who grabbed her, which resulted in him letting her go. She then screamed and ran off to the main office to let them know what happened. The school held a meeting for us the next day, talking about safety and how we did during the lockdown. They praised the girl for her quick thinking and bravery. Our history teacher, Mr. Lopez, ended up telling us more about what happened. He said the staff had been getting updates through their phones during the lockdown. That's how he knew a bit more than us, but he couldn't tell us everything at the time to keep us from panicking. That day was absolutely wild. I know none of us are immune to lockdowns, but I honestly never thought I'd legit be part of one. Everyone talked about it a lot, in class, at lunch, everywhere. It was a big deal for our small town. The school beefed up security, adding new procedures and drills. Looking back, it was a terrifying experience, but it also taught us a lot about how to react in emergencies. We were just kids, but we handled it pretty well, all things considered. It's one of those things you never forget. A real-life horror story right in our own school.